morning, ladies and gentlemen. We've invited the first class. Now we're inviting the executive platinum, Emerald Sapphire.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Crew Travel right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome Lee, not the regular Lee, but the owner of Crew Travel, or of Blue Marine Travel, Lee Baldwin. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Well, and I've got to say that every week, Crew Travel is brought to you by Blue Marine Travel, who haven't lost a passenger since I think all three of us were probably born back in the late 1900s. And of course, their people move people. So Lee is back next week, but he's just been having some scheduling issues. So yeah, we're missing him terribly, and I'm missing my weekly therapy sessions, but not to worry. I've been assured that he is going to be back next week. It's been a very okay week. I mean, sort of up and down, but I think we've seen that quite a bit lately. You know, every week there's something changing. There's some good news and there's some bad news. What's going on in Malta?
Malta from the 2nd of May are cancelled their requirement for a passenger locator form, which is, you know, more good news for passengers coming up to the summer season. You know, the smoother the entry, the better, for sure.
Well, and I guess it takes a lot less time, for sure, because that has been an issue that we've been dealing with. What's going on with Switzerland?
The same for Switzerland as well. They're reducing their need for any kind of restrictions and passenger locator forms, again, from the 2nd of May. So the 2nd of May seems to be the day, really, that everybody's relaxing.
Now, do you know if this also applies? Like, I know this applies to the travel forms, but what's going on in the actual countries? Do you still have to wear masks and do all that protection stuff?
I believe everywhere in Europe is certainly a lot stricter than the UK in terms of wearing masks in, what do they call them, closed-in spaces or supermarkets and stuff like that. Here in the UK, very rarely do you see anybody wearing a mask anywhere. I think Europe, they're a little bit stricter on it in certain areas. But yeah, mask wearing is still a requirement in most countries, in supermarket environments, closed in spaces, walking to and from tables in bars and restaurants, I believe is the same. You probably have a better idea on Palmer than I do.
Well, in Mallorca, actually, yesterday was the first day that the mask restriction was lifted. Now, every shop that I went into, the people that were working were wearing their masks. Mm-hmm. But some weren't, actually, ironically enough, but a larger percentage of them were. But the customers, it was the opposite. There was hardly any people that were customers that were wearing masks. Compared to those. And I stood out because I still maybe it's after 3 years of having to wear a mask, but I just feel more comfortable. I feel more protected, I guess.
Some airlines are actually, you know, domestic US travel as well is now going to remove mandatory mask wearing. So, yeah, it's coming even to airlines at some point along.
Well, it almost seems like, you know, it was such an issue right up until Russia invaded Ukraine, and then that was just no longer an issue. And all of a sudden it was the Russian invasion of Ukraine that became an issue, and we're just going to drop everything COVID.
Yeah, the only thing on our news here is Shanghai's in lockdown and Peking, Beijing, it shows how old I am, doesn't it? Beijing's apparently going to go into lockdown as well, which could cause supply chain issues at some point in the future, because apparently there are loads of ships just sitting at the ports waiting to load.
So is that due to COVID? See, and this is what I don't understand, is why did we not learn the first time round? If a situation in, for example, China, it went absolutely insane, but the rest of the world's going, oh, we don't want to stop air travel, we don't want to stop. Well, then why don't you just make sure that while they're in that heightened awareness, while they have so many cases going on, just close those borders until they get it under control and then open them back up so we don't have another sort of, you know, spread around the world. But
I don't know that their numbers are particularly bad compared to places like certainly the UK. It's it's run through us in the last 2 months. Everybody's had it. My father's had it, who's 80. Just a couple of days cold, that was it. But it's not even mentioned on the news. We're not even counting anymore.
Yeah, I had it at the beginning of the year. It knocked me for six, but like I'm an old woman, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So I don't know whether China's that bad or whether they're just this zero COVID policy that they've got is, you know, that's what they're going to do. And they're going to go into lockdown, apparently.
Interesting. And Qantas has made an announcement.
Yeah, Qantas have started on Friday back to Port Moresby in Papua New Guinea for the first time in 2 years. Three times a week from Brisbane to Port Moresby, which is, again, positive news for, you know, back to a route that they traditionally flew to forever.
Well, there's a lot of airlines that are increasing and getting, because I know that not all airlines are back up to pre-COVID levels, but a lot of the airlines around the world are now amping up their flight schedules again.
Yeah, definitely. Some of them have probably bitten off more than they can chew in some cases with the amount of cancellations, lost baggage that we're having to deal with. Yeah, and a lot of flight cancellations because they haven't got enough crew, flight crew, cabin crew, security staff at airports. A lot of COVID flying around as well, so a lot of people are off sick. But yeah, they're probably bitten off. I mean, American Airlines, I read a report yesterday, American Airlines are 84% of pre-pandemic revenue, which wow. It's a staggering number, to be honest with you, considering where we were 6 months ago.
Well, I guess we have come to this, pre-COVID, we had come to this state of society where we were so used, it was like grabbing an Uber. It was like jumping in a taxi. You know, you could catch an airplane and prices were so low that you could actually just, you know, sometimes it was cheaper to jump on a plane than it was to take a taxi for, you know, an hour's drive. So, and then we went to nothing.
Yeah.
And of course, all these, I guess that's the question is what has happened to all these crew that went, it didn't have jobs essentially for 2.5 years. And how is that going to affect going forward? Are they going to have to do a push for training new crew? Are they going to have to do a push for recruiting, you know, more people into the airline industry?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's definitely going to be, they believe a shortage of pilots at some point, which is obviously a lot more training required for that particular role than, say, check-in staff or baggage handlers or for obvious reasons. Cabin crew, yeah, I mean, if you look at what British Airways had to do, I think they got rid of, I believe the number was about 30,000 staff. Luckily, we've got one of them sitting in the office here. She was cabin crew. We've converted her into a travel agent. But there's going to be a big recruitment drive. That's they're going to have a big recruitment drive, or they're going to have to reduce their schedules. It's as simple as that.
Well, I, you know, I'm not sure if that's a result of it, but there has been reports of complete airport chaos straight across the face of the planet, just especially during this past sort of, I guess for some it's Easter holidays, for others it's a term break. But we've seen some chaos around Europe anyway.
Yeah, definitely. The kids being off school and 2 years of, two and a bit years of lockdown, I think everyone's, you know, certainly in the UK has decided, okay, we need to go away. Yeah, it's been carnage, absolute carnage at certain airports. We have had a lot of lost luggage. What I would say to passengers, please check in early. Get all the forms, double check before you, you know, 48 hours before your flight, what you need, re-COVID restrictions, if there are any anywhere. Double check that you've got everything and get to the airport early, because we've got May bank holiday coming up, and then we should have a little lull until the summer season, hopefully. You know, we'll probably have a month or maybe 2 months of calm down at airports, and then it'll go crazy again July, August, September for sure.
And carry on luggage.
Or you know what? Don't travel in the school holidays. If you can help it, if you can help it, don't travel at holidays in the holiday period.
Well, if they're having these issues now, in regards to baggage handlers and security and check-in desk, yes, we still have 2 months of slow time prior to the summer, but I can guarantee you that any of that staff that they hire now is not going to be running at full capability come the smack of summer holidays. So you're going to be expecting delays upon delays and missed luggage and everything else, even come summer.
Yeah. And then you've got on top of that, you've got to deal with industrial disputes and air traffic control disputes. And
I'm wondering if France is going to have
weather. Hopefully we won't have too many weather disputes in Europe.
I'm wondering if France is going to have its annual August travel control strike.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's annual.
I know, right? It's like a holiday every year. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's yeah. August. Yeah, France, yeah. Air traffic control strike. We can be expecting that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's almost a given. Touch wood, it won't last long, and they'll... And they'll resolve whatever issues they've got again.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's you know, it just literally, please just get to the airport early. And you know what, because you can't, as you said before, it used to be a case of getting an Uber, turning up at the airport an hour and a half before or an hour before in some cases, and just, you know, getting on a flight. You've got security to get through. You've got to make sure your bags get tagged properly. We are dealing with a lot of lost luggage at the moment as well. If I always say to people, if you don't want to lose it, don't put it in your suitcase. If you can't do without it, you know, some medication, anything of any value, don't put it in your suitcase. Because just clothes and toiletries and you know, laptops must go with you. I think everybody knows that by now, but we still get cases of, oh, I left my £3,000 camera in my suitcase. Really? Why?
I lost my luggage once, and it was actually, I had one suitcase filled with shoes. This was back in the day when, you know, it mattered. And my entire shoe collection was in one suitcase, and literally it was gone. And I got to my destination, and I literally had the shoes that I flew in. And of course, they weren't appropriate. We were going to a wedding or something, I think. And I had nothing appropriate to wear. Well, I just had flip-flops. So I was like, oh, yeah. And they never recovered it. You know, it's funny. You see these piles. Back. No. No. You see these piles of lost luggage being auctioned off online, and you think, I wonder who ended up with all my shoes.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much of it about at the moment. It's crazy. It's tended to be, you know, no rhyme or reason or any particular airport. It's just everywhere. You know, baggage handlers have been overwhelmed. And as much as it's meant to be automated, with the barcode that you get on everything now, you know, things do go missing, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, nothing's perfect. I remember traveling with my parents. There was St. John's, Newfoundland, and St. John's, New Brunswick. And the amount of times our luggage ended up in the wrong St. John's every time we flew to Newfoundland from British Columbia. And you know, that at that time, dating myself again, it was because it was pure human error. You know, the airport ports weren't computerized at that stage. But we know that, you know, even as we're doing our daily stuff and we're utilizing our computer equipment, things happen that, you know, computers malfunction, et cetera. So, you know, if you don't have a baggage handling staff that is on top of that, so many things could go wrong. I mean, because there's a speed that they've got to do it, right? It's not, oh, and they have, you know, 5 minutes to look at each tag and make sure it's got to go fast, because we're talking thousands and in some cases, millions of passengers.
Yeah. And he's, for the majority of the airports, the big international airports, it's meant to be automated. But, you know, if the barcode's facing the wrong way, or if it gets ripped off, or if it gets caught in one of the conveyor belts, and, you know, then you know, it just becomes an absolute mess. With the amount of luggage that's flying around, it's crazy. It's quite an interesting, when you see one of these big international airports, how their luggage actually works. It's, for me, I'm a bit of an airplane buff, so I find it interesting, but it's probably really boring thinking about it for most people.
I've seen documentaries, and it's almost like a city of like conveyor belts.
Yeah.
Like massive.
Yeah. And when you look at places like Doha, where the amount of international flights in Dubai and places like that, it's, you know, from everywhere to everywhere. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Right. Well, Lee, I have to give you a great big thank you for stepping in for the other Lee.
You're welcome. I didn't have time to do my hair or anything, but...
Well, you know what? I'm sure a little spit and polish would have fixed that right up.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much.
Right. I have to say once again that Crew Travel is brought to you weekly by Blue Marine Travel, who haven't lost a passenger since all three of us were born back in the late 1900s. And of course, their people move people.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lee. You've been watching another edition of Crew Travel right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Ria. I have been your host. We'll see you again next week.